Hello, family. Oh, this is so cool. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm just sitting in a massive lounge about to have coffee with you all. That's what I tell myself so I don't get nervous. Wow, 2018. Okay, there'll be moments that might get funny, but that's okay. So 2018, so I'm part of Wings International. In Indonesia, though, we go as ASA, which is Aslan Sidewalk Academy, just to protect ourselves. Because if they go onto our site, they see what, you know, that we are Christian-based, but we don't hide that from them. So let me tell you what happened in 2018. First of all, our team consists of 2 Mexicans, 3 Americans, and myself. So there's 6 of us, and I'm going on to my 3rd year now. And a testimony, so we're based in Bali, but we also work into India, Nepal, and Myanmar. So this year in India, awesome testimony, just to encourage you all. For this year, I feel like God has highlighted His love. Every year, every day it is, but His love provides, His love covers, His love delivers, His love heals, and His love has been revealed through encounters this year. So in India, His love provided. We have a home in India with 45 boys. They are of the lowest caste system. And if you know anything about the Indian caste system, they cannot own a home. They cannot, never mind, buy a home. And this family, we trusted. March, for 6 months, we prayed and we prayed. And our Father provided. And we were able to say that home is yours. So when we got to India, we celebrated, we painted, we fixed the walls. And what's so beautiful is this family that we are partnered with in India, they go into the dumps area. If you saw all the trash, that's the dumps area. And from 2 years ago, when I went, I've seen such a change. Little things like there are less flies. The children are wearing clothes that fit them. They're brushing their hair. They're smiling. They still live in all of that. But these children now have been taken to the home, and we're educating them. And that's one of our values, to give shoes that so that they can run, which is the physical aspect, education, clothes, food, the basic needs. So they have been taken back to this home, which is now theirs, and they're being taught how to read, to write, basic things, to wash their hands, how to use a squatty, how to wash their own clothes. And they never had that in the dumps area. So there is hope, and it's exciting to be a part of it. And you guys are a part of that too. I want you to know that. So that's India. And then in Bali, so we work down south and up north. Down south, the testimony over there, God, His love has been healing. And there's a testimony I want to share with you. So Bali is predominantly Hindu. So they're very open to the spirit realm. They do a lot of ceremonies. There's a lot of sacrificing. So we bring in the gospel through relationship and trust. And when they talk about their ceremonies, we are able to relate it to Jesus. That, yes, there used to be sacrifices that were made, but now Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And we bring it to their understanding where they're at, just like Jesus met the people where they're at. So there's this family that we have that we work with down south on the beach. The kids come. These kids come from the party district where you find drugs, alcohol, clubs, and then the massage parlors. And they come to us once a week on the beach. We let them be kids, and we also have a meal with them, and we share the gospel. So there was a key family, actually, sorry, 2 key families that we are now really working with. The first one, our heart's desire is to put the kids back into school. So these kids are carrying the weight on their shoulders to provide for their families. Their dads are nowhere to be seen. Their moms are with them but not working. And it's been a generational curse. So this one family, they've come from north downwards, left their village to work. And therefore, the child's been taken out of school and she's on the street. So we now are working alongside them. We have the funds to put her back into school, and that's what we're working with now. I just left Bali, working with the family, trying to get their marriage certificate. Basic things for us, it's easy. For them, it's not so easy. But working alongside them, having a relationship, building together, and seeing that their child goes back into school. So that's what we're hoping for 2019. Then another testimony, there's this beautiful lady, we call her Ibu Sriyani. And her and her husband were sitting on the beach, and I just saw them and went and sat next to them and said, "What can I pray for you?" And it was the normal things, health, food, education. So just really just spoke to Jesus on behalf of them. And then she said to me, her arm is in pain. So I said, okay, let's pray, you know. And so I touched her arm and I could feel God's heat. And I just started praying. And then Jesus, I said to her, Ibu, what did you feel anything on your arm? And she said, yes, I could feel heat. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, let's see, did, you know, is it healed? And then she's stretching her arm and she's like, yes. And immediately God's love invaded her. She started crying. God showed himself. She had an encounter with Jesus, right? And she just cried. And you know what came out of that was, when you pray, there's power. But when we pray, there's no power. Why? And I was like, yes. I'm like, it's not about the power. It's about Jesus' love. He loves you. Can I tell you about him? And she's like, yes. And I just started talking to Jesus, like, telling her about Jesus, who he was and what he did and his love. And they just look and they're like, wow, how do we pray to him? And this is what came out of 2018, prayer. Because they want to connect then, because they pray to their statues, doesn't speak back, doesn't provide, there's nothing. So we are able to share through that. Jesus revealing himself through healing and praying. And so that's Wednesday nights. Thursday nights, we are still with the kids at our center. These kids range from 3 to about 13. They don't know how to read or write. And we are now bringing them in, teaching them A, B, C, D, you know, and how to write. And just in everything that we do, we always bring in Jesus and values. Our values is the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, kindness, faithfulness, and speaking to them through that and ministering on what those values actually mean. So it's been a beautiful year down south, and then down north, up north in the village, we have a home. And just to give you background information, this village before us, a group of people went into this village and they got killed when they brought the gospel. And we went into this village knowing that, but we had no fear because God called us. And he positioned us. We met with the chief of the village. He gave us a house. The first day we met him, he gave us a house. So from March, we have been going every Sunday to Tuesdays, establish ourselves there, building relationship, leaning on the Holy Spirit. God, what do we have to give? And he said to us, 2018, he said, I'm giving you keys to not just unlock individuals or families, but villages from generational curses. And we were like, Lord, your word goes before us. We will be obedient and faithful. So we went in knowing we couldn't just bring in the gospel, but start with relationship and love. How we love one another, something that Yanni brought up in prayer meeting that my spirit just was like, yes. How we love one another as a team. How we love the family members. How we invite them into our dinners. They couldn't understand why we would just buy nasi, which is rice. You know, why do we buy for everyone? Why do we do what we do? They were asking these questions because we love you and we know someone else that loves you, and that's Jesus. So they knew who we believed in, but we wanted to get to know them. And through those keys, the keys that God gave us was education, English. We had music club, dance club. We had art club. And every Monday, we would teach English for 3 hours. And through that, loving them, spending time with them, sometimes not even saying anything because we can't speak the language fully, just being with them. So something that Jesus spoke to me about while being in the village has totally changed how I see his heart for his children. I was sitting, spending time with them, and I said, Jesus, what would you say to me if you were right in front of me? And he said to me, Chantal, look at everything around you, the palm trees, everything I've created, even these people I've created, but they don't know their creator. And that broke me. And I was like, wow, Lord, our number one function as children of God is to bring his children into encounters with him. And that has been a beautiful picture of his heart. And my encouragement for you today is, first of all, I have a past, we all have one, right? We believe in the lies sometimes more than the truth. Right? That disqualifies us. I've put that on myself. Jesus said to me, Chantal, stop disqualifying yourself. When you know you are found in my arms, you can do anything. God is more concerned about your relationship with him than what you can do for him. Your day and your evening starts and begins with being found in your Father's arms. I feel like God is saying, my children, rise up, stop believing the lies, take my truth and run with it. He's calling us to be childlike again. What does that mean? Believe your Father. Just believe. If he says, I love you, it's like, oh my word, I know this love. Live in that. That is freedom. Don't put conditions on yourself. God is an unconditional God. He's not the one putting those conditions on you. We are. And that is a barrier with our Father. So I want to encourage that with you. And I want to encourage you that in everything that you do, school, work, your number one function is to bring those people into encounters with him. And you are his child. So it's how you love and you handle difficult situations. Be real, be honest, be open. And Jesus shines through that. So that is something that's really been a highlight this year. And I just want to leave you with this one thing, a revelation that Jesus gave me to encourage you for whatever you're trusting for this year. I was really just praying about a lot of things. And the story about Abraham and Rebecca and Isaac. So Sarah died, and Abraham is now the picture of Jesus. And Abraham was speaking to his servant, you need to get a wife for Isaac. And that is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is busy. He is busy in your lives. He's busy in this neighborhood. He's busy in this city, right? Then the picture of us is Rebecca. And Jesus said to me, what did Rebecca do? Every day, she took a jar of water and she filled it up with water. Maybe 3 times a day. I don't know how many times a day. But she did that faithfully. And that speaks to me about faithfulness. Then he said to me, what do you think was the meditation of her heart while she was being faithful? And I was like, sure, God, that's true. What is the meditation of my heart? Do I meditate on your goodness? Am I quick to believe the default of the lie? Or am I quick to believe you and your goodness? We've been singing about his goodness this whole morning. And then the last thing was, while she was being faithful, she was meditating on God's goodness and who Jesus is, she lifted her eyes and she served. She lifted and she served. She gave water to those camels. And that day, her life was going to be changed and she was going to meet her husband. But I'm not talking about husbands or wife. I'm talking about anything that God is calling you into. And those are 3 things I want to leave you for this year. 2, be faithful. Continue being faithful. Do the last thing that Jesus told you to do and keep on doing that until he tells you to do the next thing. And meditate on him. What is the meditation of your heart? And then while you're doing that, serve. Serve because you love him and you love his children. Yeah, so that's all I want to share with you today.
Great, thanks. I wonder, Chantal, it should be great if we could pray with you. Yeah, so maybe do you mind standing together and... John, I could ask you to lead us in praying for Chantal. Let's just stretch your hands out if you're close. If you'd like to come and stand with us and do that, I'll just pray for you.
Sure, Lord. We just want to give you thanks for this life, God. Lord, we thank you that as Chantal speaks, Lord, the sweetness of your will is such a priority to her, God. The sweetness of your will just brings so much joy and so much peace, Lord. But it doesn't only change her life. It changes others, God. Thank you for that impartation this morning, God. Thank you that your word is life, God. Thank you that your truth brings freedom, God. And thank you that your spirit, Lord, liberates people, God. As she goes, God, with this heart to see this world change, God, would you fill her, God? Would you fill her to overflow, God? Thank you that she's overflowing already. But God, we pray for an abundance, God. A greater faithful with little, faithful with much, God. And as she has gone to pursue you, God, we pray, Lord, as she has placed everything below your feet, God. We pray that you would give her the desires of her heart, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good. Thank you, Lord, that she is an example not only to us but to the nations, God. Oh, God, would you increase her influence, God? Would you increase her authority, God, as she holds this responsibility so dear, so, just everything before you, God, everything for you, everything to you, God. We bless your name for her, Lord. May next year be a year, God, of greater testimonies, of greater witness, God, of greater testimonies of your faithfulness, God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've taken the small things of this world to shame the wise, God, the weak things of this world to shame the strong, God. How powerful you are. We thank you for Chantal, God. We glorify your name for her life and the witness and the example that she is to us, Lord. May we learn. May we take everything that you have, God, and that you've been doing through her. May it stir us to faith in this part of the city, God, in our country, God. May we see change, God. and men and women and children transformed by your gospel and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great. Thanks, Chantel. It was awesome catching up with what you've been up to. As you were speaking, I was reminded of something. A couple of days ago, I was walking with Zoe, my daughter, a seven-year-old, and she says, "Dad, do you know what facta non verba means?" So now I'm like about to get like a Latin lesson from my seven-year-old. So it's their school motto, and it means acts, not words. And just as you were sharing what you shared, I thought that, I mean, your life is a testimony of it, but an encouragement for all of us, just for the year ahead, actions, not words. It's easy to talk about these things, but to actually go and paint that school, to go and like fix the wall, for us to get out, you know, to our own city love that we're involved with, for us to be able to be involved in Lesotho this year. There are opportunities for us. I've just mentioned two things, but there are numerous opportunities within the life groups, within the life of the church, for us to be involved, to have acts and not just words, or to have acts, not just intentions or thoughts. Because it's easy when we sit here to think, oh, it'd be great to do that, or I'd love to do this, or, but friends, not just the thoughts. Rather, let's do the acts this year. So thank you, Chantal, for that encouragement that you gave us this morning. Great. Then I'd like to invite Bradley up to come and share. Brad has a word for us this morning, so I'm going to hand over to Brad.
Morning, everybody. Chantal, just listening to you just makes me want to pack up everything and come and head out to Bali with you guys. That's an incredible story. And thank you for blessing us this morning with that. It's amazing. I've got a little bit of a story that's a bit closer to home, and often I'll feel something, and I'll tell you something a bit vulnerable about myself, because I really feel that in that hopefully we can learn from God's ways, and it's a new year, and last year I didn't start the year. I started with difficulty, and I remember singing that song, you know, never gonna let me go, and I remember I think I was virtually crying in the second row here, and the year looked daunting. And I think for some of us, the year's daunting. It offers challenges, there's fears. And I just want to tell you a little bit of a story starting in 2016, because on the 27th of this year, I drove down to work, and as I went down to work, I felt God just drop in my heart that scripture from Revelation 21, and it says, "Behold, I'm doing something new." And it's been a three-year journey of doing something new. And it blew me away on the way to work. And so this is very much a little personal story, testimony about Lee and I and where we've come from in the last couple of years in our business. And it's not that the business is important. It's God's faithfulness in what we've gone through that's important. And I'm hoping that this will just encourage you guys. It will give you courage. You know, the word encourage, we often think encourage is like a pat on the back. No, encourage comes from the French word and means to give courage. So I want to give you some courage for 2019. I'd like to do that. And I just got to use myself as an example to do that. When I gave my life to Jesus, time starts now, Grant, 5 minutes, huh? When I gave my life to Jesus, I had a friend who walked with me. His name was Justin White. And he told me, he gave me this amazing piece of advice. And for anyone young in this church, I hope you hold on to this advice. The advice was this. I said to him, "How do I read the Bible?" And he said to me, "As a starting point, whatever you read in the Bible, you must just believe it." That was the advice I got. It was the best advice I ever had. Whatever you read in the Bible, just believe it. I know it sounds stupidly simple, but it's the essence of faith. Whatever you read, just believe it. And it stuck with me for all these years. And it's helped me through incredibly difficult situations. My wife and I, we have a business, and we're in it together. And in 2016, the wheels absolutely came off as a result of my own poor decisions, because I lead the organization, and market conditions. Everything just fell apart. And it was extremely tough. And I'm not sure how close we were to bankruptcy, but I'm pretty sure we were on the edge. We were absolutely on the brink. And the funny thing is, I could see it's like being in an accident. You know, if you've ever been in a car accident or any kind of accident, sometimes it happens in slow-mo and you can actually watch things happen in front of you. And I actually started to watch things unravel. And I prayed. 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 And I think I wore the carpets out in our house by praying every single day. And whenever I had an opportunity, I was desperate. And God took Lee and I on this incredible journey. And looking back now over the last 3 years, there's three key things that I'd just like to share with you quickly. Just three revelations. Number one is scripture. I remember in the depths of my despair, God giving me a scripture out of 1 Kings 17. And it's a story, you're going to have to go and read it. We don't have time for me to read it, but it's the story of the widow of Zarephath. And a prophet goes to her. There's a drought in the land. They're in a desert time. They're about to starve and they're about to die. And in the story, she has to give something to the prophet. It's a picture of Jesus. She has to give something to the prophet first, the last of what we have. And in that moment of faith, the prophet says to her, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Okay, you're going to have to go and read the portion of scripture. It's 1 Kings 17. But basically, they were about to run out. She gives him the last of what she has. And because of that act, she never runs out until rain comes onto the land and God provides. He provides for her in a little way every single day. I tell you, I held on to that scripture for dear life. And it might sound ridiculous, but I actually used to check the weather app to see if it was going to rain, because I had this kind of superstitious belief that my salvation was going to come when it rained. And funny enough, Port Elizabeth was in a drought at the same time, so it just never rained. Like for months and months and months, it never rained. But as promised in the scripture, for 2 years, nothing ran out in our house. We had enough. I remember starting one Monday with 40 rand in our business bank account and nothing in our personal bank account, nothing. And we just never ran out. God provided time and time and time and time again. We had to make some big changes in our life, and we sold off both of our properties. And so we had to do some things as well to keep ourselves going. So that was the first thing. It was this piece of scripture that we believed and we held on to for dear life. The second was a sermon series. It was coming to church and believing the word of God that came from the pulpit. And last year, at the beginning of the year, Nick preached a sermon called Making Change. And it impacted us like you cannot believe. We felt like God was saying, it's time to make changes in your life. You've got to make some change. So if you're in a position in your life this year where things are tough, you've got to make some change. And we went and we prayed for three things. We prayed. Our business lease was very expensive. It was a huge expense, and we actually couldn't afford it. We were up to date, but my landlord wouldn't, who's actually family of mine, wouldn't let me off the hook. And we prayed that we would be able to somehow get out of our business lease. We prayed that and move into smaller premises. We also prayed that we would be able to sell off a badly performing manufacturing section of ours, which is difficult because it's a very small industry. There's not many buyers. And we had some business debt that was crushing us, and we had to get out of it. And so those are the things in January this year at about this time that we prayed for. I wrote to my landlord and I said, "Listen, can you not let us off the hook? We've got 8 months to go of our lease. We're dying. We're trying to pay you and our business is sinking." And she wrote me a mail back the same day and said, "Absolutely not." So I said, "Would you like to sell?" And she said, she came back the same day and she said, "There are no buyers." I found a buyer the same day. The deal was signed the same week for large industrial premises, no advertising. The new owner of my premises became my new landlord. He gave me a 2-month rent holiday. He wanted to pay me commission for organizing a deal that saved my bacon. And ended up, I got a new landlord, I got a friend, I got help, I got assistance. It was the most incredible thing. We'd also prayed for this large section, this manufacturing section that we owned. We'd had it for 20 years and it was dying. It was gone. And we needed to move it. It made my products that I designed. It was branded with my own brand. Very difficult conditions to try and sell something. And the premises were now sold. We either were going to have to sell it or basically throw away a whole section because we couldn't take it with us moving on. We managed somehow. Our raw material suppliers approached us and they were interested. They ended up buying our whole manufacturing section. It all got moved to Joburg. They paid us for it, and now they make our products for us. Isn't that nice? And so we were able to get rid of all our overheads and move away. And as for our business debts, we prayed about it. We wanted to pay everything off that we owed. It was stuff that had been hanging around for a long time. And really, God gave us favor to negotiate with people. We got compromises from people. And all of a sudden, our business was resurrected. It was the most incredible thing. In a matter of months, after waiting and waiting and waiting, after 2 years of trusting God every single day. And I want to tell you guys, it's hard. It was hard. But we were back in business. And as Isaiah 43 says, Grant started the meeting with it. I'm doing a new thing. See, it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Standing here now, I never would have believed at the beginning of last year I'd be standing talking to you about this. I never would have predicted that we would ever be here. And that was the message that I got as I drove down the hill on Albany Road on the 27th, and I felt God say to me, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. And in that verse in Revelation, it says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So God resurrected something in our lives. But there are many of you that are either going through or going to go through things this year, either it's relationally, it's in your marriage, it's in your family, where you're trusting for resurrection. And so I just want to give you a couple of things quickly, and then I'm going to leave the stage. Just a couple of things that I've really been meditating on. When God resurrects something in our lives, there's going to be two things. There's going to be pain. It's going to be painful. It's always going to be painful. And then something has to die. Something in our lives has to die to make way. So whenever there's a rebirth, it's the story of the gospel. Something dies and something is reborn. It says that we're new creations in Christ. For anything to be resurrected, there's got to be a death first. And so I'm going to suggest to you, in my life, many things had to die in the last couple of years. My arrogance, my self-assurance, the fact that I've always done things my own way. I rely on my own means, always. And I had to humble myself. I had to submit before God. I had to give in. But for some of us, it might be a death of an addiction. It might be death of unforgiveness that you hold against somebody. It might be death of debt in your finances. So if you're trusting God for a resurrection in some area of your life, you've got to know that something's going to die off. You've got to let something die off so that the new can come forth. I also want to suggest to you that his promises are true. So if you read it in the Bible, you need to believe it. It's just that easy. Through this whole ordeal, we never stopped working. We never gave up. Never gave up. And we never stopped tithing. And I'm not saying this to give myself glory. I'm telling you, there's a promise in tithing. There's a promise. He promises us that we can test him on it. So if we had made 40 rand, we made 400 rand, we gave 40 rand. Because God is true and his promises are true. And he says, if you do this, you can test me. And so for 2 years, it didn't matter how many or how few rands we made, we gave 10%. Because we can rely on his promises. And when the chips were down, I could say, you promised me you're never going to leave me and you're never going to forsake me. And he never did. So we've got to trust him. And in that story, out of 1 Kings 17, the lady gives to the prophet first. So the first's got to come to Christ. And the last thing is, even when we weren't obedient, he was incredibly faithful. He's just incredibly beautiful God who never lets us down. And I just want to close with this. I got a new devotional this year, and I want to read something because I couldn't have written it any better. And it's just an exposition out of Lamentations 3:21, and it says, one of the stunning realities of the Christian life is that in a world where everything is in some state of decay, God's mercies never grow old. They never run out. They are never ill-timed. They never dry up. They never grow weak. They never get weary. They never fail to meet the need. They never disappoint. They never ever fail because they are really new every morning. Form-fitted for the challenges, disappointments, sufferings, temptations, and struggles with sin within and without are the mercies of our Lord. So for this year, I want to give you courage. He is making all things new. Don't give up. Don't give up on him. hold on to the promises. He is faithful and true. And when you get them, write them down. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Brad, for that word. Just a confirmation there, Brad, a word I had for this morning's meeting was from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And just with that sentence of death, with knowing that the death awaits, that death is coming, there's a sense of us relying not on ourselves, but relying on God and relying on His promises.